Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Soccer Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about, mainly Champions League stuff, as the reigning, defending, undisputed, three-time champions are no longer in the running. They are Dunskis. Bye-bye, see you later. Better luck next time. Thank you for playing. And then we also have some other games that happened yesterday in soccer, as well as Tuesday, March 5th, in yesterday's games. Yeah, so yeah, we have the last 2 days of Champions League games. We got some Premier League games to talk about. We have a controversial actual game between Manchester United and PSG, thanks to the infamous VAR call that gave them a penalty shot, really sealed the game for them against PSG at the end there. And then we have, like I said, we have Premier League stuff to talk about. Well, actually, we have Premier League stuff to talk about, like I said, but we also have some interesting news when it comes to Real Madrid and their captain, Sergio Ramos. So we'll talk about that as well. But I think first thing is first, we got to talk about a certain Champions League matchup between Real Madrid and Ajax, because this seemed to be going their way throughout this entire game. It seemed to be like, okay, they got this. Well, not the entire game, obviously, because they lost 4-1. But at the start of the game, it was over. Two goals in the first 20 minutes. I mean, that really sealed it there. It didn't need to go any more than that. But what I'm saying is, this is supposed to be the match that this was the second leg match that was supposed to be Real Madrid's. They were up 2-1, and then now they lost 5-3 total. And, you know, if they just let one goal, they only needed to allow one goal, maybe two, and then score another one, maybe have a draw to, if they let two go. Because they got their one goal in the 70th minute, that's one thing. But they allowed three goals before their first goal that game. And that's unacceptable, man. Like, just how they played was just, it was not Real Madrid that was on the field. That was a poor excuse for Real Madrid. I mean, yeah, they had 19 shots, 7 of them were on goal. They had a 57% possession of the game. They allowed a corner kick. Only had one offsides. But just, it didn't, to me, feel like this was the Real Madrid team that won three championships in a row. And obviously, there is a serious, serious missing piece missing on that team. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. And that one free kick, I think it was on like the left side of the pitch that Ajax kicked. I forget what the time it was. I didn't write it down. I should have wrote down the time. But I remember there being a free kick on the left pitch where it was a perfect bended goal right in the upper right corner of the goal. It just showed that this was a much superior team. Ajax was just a much better team in this game than Real Madrid was. And this exit is considered the failure of the century to some people. And it was just a complete collapse, it feels like. And Frenkie de Jong really stepped up his game as well for his new team. Like, and there was just a lot of talk. Like, he made how he played. Like, I know he didn't score any of the goals, but how he played in the long run, like how he just how hard he played and how good he did in the long run, really, like, and his former Barcelona teammates were proud of that, so that was cool. But it, like, there's actually a video of when Ajax comes off the field, and just they're all hyped up. They're in the locker room, just all hyped. It just it was interesting, to say the least. Very interesting. Well, interesting is not the right word. I think it's more like an emotional thing. It's like, oh, good for him type of feel. And obviously, the real story is not just the loss for Real Madrid, not their crown being taken away from them, basically. There will be no four-peat. There will be no fourth straight championship. But Joel Embiid, the center for the Philadelphia 76ers, actually contacted Hazard, Eden Hazard on Twitter and said, can you please come and help us? Because obviously there is a lot going on negatively when it comes to Real Madrid. And first and foremost, it comes with one major factor. No Ronaldo. No Cristiano Ronaldo equaled. I saw it as soon as they lost to Ronaldo. Well, lost Ronaldo is a strong word. But when Ronaldo left the team and Juventus got him, they were dead in the water. I was like, oh, that is probably the worst case scenario, you losing arguably the best player in the world. And I've said this on the podcast over and over and over and over and over again, losing him would be the end of their, like, success almost. Maybe not the end of their success. Maybe that's a strong point. But to the point where they weren't going to be the same team. They weren't going to be this super elite team. They were still an elite team. It's still Real Madrid. But they were not going to be the same. They were not going to be as successful without Ronaldo as they were with Ronaldo. And this proved to be the point, as they lost in the round of 16 to what people say is a vast inferior team in Ajax. And with that standpoint, it just feels like in the long run, everyone saw this coming. And I guess it just was, maybe this is the beginning of, this is when they desperately need Eden Hazard in this summer. Maybe they desperately need to get him just to help out a little bit. Because after the game, there was a heated argument between their captain, Ramos. God, I can't pronounce his name for the life of me. It's early. I barely had any coffee. I apologize. But regardless, he had an insane argument with their president, the Real Madrid president, to a point where, like, it got super uncomfortable. And Ramos apparently threatened to leave Real Madrid. He had an explosive argument. And so that could mean a serious argument. Like, this is a... It must have been very abruptive, very loud, very, how do I say this, scary? Maybe not scary, but it was probably uncomfortable for people that were probably around there for that argument. But when it comes down to it, Real without Ronaldo are scoring significantly fewer goals than they did while he was with the club. I think that's an obvious statement because Ronaldo is the best goal scorer in the world. Ronaldo scored 450 times in his 9 seasons in Madrid. The last season with Ronaldo, the goals they had after 26 games was 62 goals. In 2019, without Ronaldo, dropped down to 43. That is nearly a 20 drop. It's a 19-goal drop. That's how important Ronaldo was. I know I'm still speaking the complete obvious, but nothing shows it more than stats. And a 19-goal difference, a minus 19-goal difference compared to your last year with Ronaldo to how it's going to how you played this year really shows your downfall. I don't really know how else to describe it, but the best way to show you is basically Real Madrid losing this game. If this wasn't the key reason for them, if Ronaldo wasn't the key reason for them failing here, I don't know what was, because him leaving was a sign of things to come, and I don't think anyone expected them to even win the Champions League this year, but not this, not go out this soon, you know? I think people were like, that's a little too soon. Maybe they'll be out in the semifinals, or maybe they'll get to the championship game and lose. But they didn't even make it that far. They made it to the round of 16, which is, for the three-time champions, that is early. And with that happening, we have now, we have still more games left to really show who's going to be moving on. But Ajax is the first team to be that officially moved on, if I'm not mistaken, due to their win against Real Madrid. I don't think anyone had Real Madrid winning or Ajax winning this the two legs. Definitely not. But I think the question is now, can they move even farther? I mean, after this, after the next round, of course, can they go even to another play to another to the next round after the round of the 16? I'm saying, can they make it to the championship round? That's what I'm trying to say. I say no, because there's still so many other talented teams, obviously, and I think everyone else thinks the same way. But if they somehow, just out of complete luck or just unsurreal momentum, they get to the championship game, then I really don't know what I would. I might have to pick up for the championship game if it comes down to that, to be completely honest with you, because of the fact, like, they got that far. Can anyone really stop them? Like, I know, like, is momentum, like, that key figure? Like, is the momentum that much of an importance after beating the defending champions, even with Cristiano Ronaldo? And, with that being said, I mean, anything's possible, really, but I still don't think Ajax gets out of the next round after this round. I really don't think so. I don't think they're getting through. But, you know, I've been wrong before. Maybe I'll be wrong again, but that's just my opinion. But this is a great win for the club of Ajax, for sure. This is going to be remembered for quite some time in their lore. Their grandkids are going to be like, tell us when they beat Real Madrid. Well, Sonny, I'll tell you. I can't do any of their accents. But I can do old man from the South accent, apparently. So that's how that worked. So with that being said, let's move on to the other game that happened on Tuesday between Dortmund and Tottenham. Tottenham was up 3-0 going into the second leg. They would have been the ultimate collapse if they did not go through. But Kane, coming off an injury, coming returning, comes in clutch. They score a goal in the 48th minute, sealing the deal, basically. It was all but done for, as Tottenham won 1-0 and are moving on. And they win this both legs by a combination of 4-0, which is incredibly impressive for a very talented team in Dortmund that can score goals. They are a good offensive team. They're a solid offensive team. But the fact that they didn't score one goal in two legs is incredibly impressive for Tottenham and their defense. And maybe, just maybe, they might make it farther than most people realize. But moving on from that, we had Porto versus Roma. And basically, Roma choked. They were up 2-0, I'm sorry, 2-1, much like Real Madrid was, basically, and they lost 3-1. So, in basically both legs combined, they lost 4-3. So, all I needed to do is hold them to two goals, and they let them get those two goals. They got to extra time. And then they gave up a penalty, and then they got a penalty kick, Porta did, which sealed the game. Which, ironically, the guy that scored the penalty goal in the 117th minute, I think he overcheered too much. He got a yellow card for over-celebrating. Because, like, in the stat book, it's pretty funny. In the stat book, it shows 117 penalty goal, and then it shows him getting a yellow card. I'm trying to remember if he did get a yellow card for celebrating, but I think he did. But I remember the dive by Roma's Edin Dzeko, and he barely taps him in the, like, they were face-to-face. Okay, so I'm watching it again because it's just too funny. He's falling. He headbutts him, talks for a good 5 seconds, and then tumbles over like he's a tree. Like, why do you think that people give soccer a bad rap? Why do you think people give them the flopping rap? That Dzeko just gave them a reason. Like, seriously, he falls down like a ton of bricks, but they were talking for a good 5 seconds. He headbutted him. 5 seconds later, he goes down. Like, I don't understand why he waited so long. He obviously felt it. This goes down as, like, one of the worst flops I've ever seen. And I've seen the infamous one, I think it was in Mexico, maybe Spain, where the guy grabs the defender's arm and just hits himself in the face with the guy's arm in a very stupid way. So, I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean, that kind of shows Roma's loss in a nutshell. Just that dive alone really just shows how that went out. And, you know, with all of that happening, and they drawed both times in qualification, and then the 2-1 win by Roma in the first leg, and then this 3-1 loss in the second leg. But I guess they did lose an extra time, too. So, and the penalty, I think it was 112th minute, 113th minute, and it was kind of a flop. The guy kind of got lightly pushed, but he sold it really well, and he got the penalty kick. Took about 5 minutes to clear everything up, to be honest with you. But it was an interesting call, to be sure. Because, honestly, so the referee, like, if you watch it again, the referee was, like, saying you pulled him, and then he fell forwards. It just, a lot of it didn't really go with the pace, and it just was not the, was it the right call? I'm not the one to judge. Was it, could have been no called? I think it could have been no called as well. But regardless, the goal happened. Porto wins it. But if it wasn't for that close goal that almost was a offsides call to get it to 2-1, to even get it into an opportunity to get into extra time, then we would not be having this discussion about the penalty kick in the at the end of the match. So with that being said, it was just a close one in general, and I mean, just the offsides call, I mean, and just how close it was. Like, that could have gone either way, and I wouldn't have argued one way or another. Like, that is a referee judgment call there in what I saw, at least, how I saw it at that wise. So that's just mine, how I saw that going down. And Porto caught the break, and they're the ones that sealed it, and they're moving on. That's good for them. But we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about the other matches that are going to be that happened, and probably the most controversial one between PSG and Manchester United, and we'll be right on that when we return.
Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? The GSMC College Football Podcast is your ticket to all things college football. Join us as we talk college football from the national championship, the college rivalries, the bowl game, to the Heisman Trophy, to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, the Pac-12, ACC, and everything in between. Download the GSMC College Football Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts. Just type GSMC in the search bar.
Welcome back to the GSMC Soccer Podcast, and now we got to go into the good stuff. PSG seemed to, like, it was all but sealed for PSG to continue to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, but it was not meant to be, as the visiting, in the second leg, the visiting Manchester United scores three goals to tie up the leg at 3-3. But since they were away and scored three goals, they get the edge and they get to move on to the quarterfinals in a miraculous comeback by Manchester United to shock PSG and PO, the fans of PSG, as well as Neymar. And when it comes to that, and you're looking at how it all went down, I think you all know there was a VAR play of a questionable handball call that turned into a penalty kick. And they got the goal at the end to make it 3-1, and they sealed it. Without that hand touch call, they said, they would not have won this game, obviously. Maybe they could, PSG easily could have held on and won it. And then Manchester United took advantage of the penalty kick, scored the goal, took the win. Not only the win of that leg, but the win of the entire round of 16, of their combined matches. And they're moving on to the quarterfinals with a surprising, even though the legs were tied 3-3, they get the visitors' advantage, since they scored more goals away than the PSG did. And they are moving on at PSG's expense. And Neymar, like, before I get into what the call was and all that stuff, Neymar had a few choice words to use. I feel like he likes to voice his opinion. So this is his quote, and this is also translated to English. "They even put four guys who do not understand football to keep watching it in slow motion. This is surreal. How can the guy put his hand if he's on his arm, on his back? OF off." So obviously not a fluent translation to English. How can the guy put his hand if he's on his back? I guess whoever wrote this, like, wrote the quote, did not use any grammar, so it's just all, like, there's no comma or anything. So how can he put his hand if he is on his back? Which he meant about, like, how he jumped up and kind of hit his elbow, honestly, more than anything else. But, I mean, what are the actual rules of handball? Does it actually count when it hits the arm? Like, it barely grazed his elbow as well. Like, he was facing behind him. He basically did the I'm going to put my back to you, so I'm going to body it, and so it doesn't go. But it doesn't hit his back. It hit his arm. And I guess that counts as a handball. It bounced off his elbow. But, I don't know. This is obviously a very controversial call. Even some NFL players get involved with it. J.J. Watt. He puts his thought on this, and, like, there you see the reactions on Twitter of, like, a great reaction from Manchester United fans and just absolute disgust from PSG fans. So obviously it's one way or another when it comes down to it. And it was just incredible. Like, obviously you are, there's going to be some different, what's the word I'm looking for? There's going to be different opinions when it comes down to this. And understandably so, because it is pretty controversial. And there's just a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to this finish. But congratulations to Manchester United. And honestly, their interim coach should be their head coach, if anything. Gunner should take the job. If he doesn't, I'll be shocked. Sorry if I butcher that name, but it was like Jay Watch says, he has to get the full-time job at United, right? I'm like, yeah, he probably does. That interim job's not going to be interim much longer. I mean, come on now. I mean, you got to give him the props for... Manchester United looked dead in the water when he took over as interim manager. And then all of a sudden, they're taking it to the next level with this, like, miracle run. And miracle comeback, too. Like, obviously, how it ended... maybe was obviously beyond his control. I don't think he told the VAR people to say, hey, give us the goal, give us the penalty kick. But it was just one of those things where it was, you know, it could have gone either way. That's when you like look at the rules very specifically and go, is that the right call? Is it? It's super unclear. Well, because the thing is, it could have gone either way, so it's not. Oh, actually, kind of breaking news here. About 10 minutes ago, about an hour ago, Roma fired their coach, and I wonder why. Maybe it's because they just choked in the round of 16. So. That just shows the frustration from that entire organization when you fire the coach after a loss like that. Of course, it is Champions League, and it is a very valuable prize you just lost. So I understand the frustration there when it comes down to the organization and firing their coach and making an example basically out of him. But regardless, moving on, just continuing to the Manchester United game. Just, it's super, how do I explain this? I just can't explain how. Oh, there's also other breaking news. First, real quick, Manchester United, they caught a break. The penalty could have gone either way, just like the offsides penalty against between Porto and Roma that went to Porto's way as well. So that's just how that's going. But Messi is returning to Argentina squad for the first time since 2018 World Cup. He's been called up to the squad for the first time since the Cup, and he's returning to the squad. He's returning for this month's international friendly, so that's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting for Argentina fans. So here, there's that. That came out this morning as well, that he's going to be back with the international squad. Now, I don't know if this is maybe a secret send-off for Messi. I don't know if he's going to compete for next year's World Cup. That's a big question mark for him, obviously. But who knows what his decision will stand by. But let's, again, going back to the Manchester United. And I'm sorry, I'm just watching people's celebrations. Like, you know, the classic take off your shirt and throw it and stuff like that. And someone grabbed a pan or a pot or something out of their kitchen and threw it out of excitement. And obviously he wasn't trying to hit anybody, but someone else was getting up and taking off their shirt and celebrating, and he hit him right in the face as hard as he could throw it. Like, it was like easily a broken cheekbone right type of thing. That was a brutal throw. Jesus. And just shows the excitement of fans is sometimes if you see your favorite team score a goal in a crucial situation, especially in a big time matchup, don't throw a pot or a pan or a whatever you want, something metal out of excitement, a kitchen utensil that's metal out of excitement just not be looking where you're throwing it, because obviously this dude got hit right in the face. This was a ouch, ouch, ouch. That had to hurt. And that couldn't have felt good. That is obviously, that's just ouch. And then there's people's responses is like swollen faces and all that good stuff. Obviously the guy's fine from the reaction from it being on the, on just like Twitter and all that stuff. But I think that's pretty funny. And there's a super sad picture also of PSG and like their three top, like Neymar and their and the other teammates, looking away. Like, it's Bleacher Report Football, like their Twitter page, and it's them looking away from the top of the mountain where the Champions League Cup is, and everyone else is on that mountain fighting for the cup, and they're just the ones that are the odd ones looking out. It's pretty depressing. And then there's also the infamous Neymar reportedly was restrained by PSG staff after the loss of Manchester United because he wanted to get into the face of the officials for letting that handball go down, and he just was pissed. I'm sorry if that's a strong language, but my gosh, he lost it. And you can't say you blame him. And due to his injury, it must have been very hard for him, because to not be involved in the game and not be involved with his teammates and not even be able to help. Because, like, as a player injured and, like, a key member of the team, he must have felt helpless. Right? I mean, that's gotta be a right way to say it. Yeah, that felt helpless and disappointed that he couldn't be on the field with them, be on the pitch with them. So, I mean, with that being said, it's just a huge disappointment if you're PSG. I mean, and with that being said, however, I guess when it comes down to it, they're most likely will be back next year. I don't see why wouldn't they be. Like, they're still one of the top in their domestic league. So I'll even look at the domestic league right now. I don't think I even need to look at it to double check to see that they're on top of their league. Like, I think it's pretty straightforward that they're the top of their league. But again, I could be wrong. Let's see. Yeah, I thought so. They're way ahead of their pack, almost 20 points. So yeah, I really didn't need to look at this because it seemed like it was a given already. They just dominate their domestic league year after year after year. So with that being said, it just they're in the Champions League. That's a given. So with that being said, disappointment for PSG again, not holding up the Champions League trophy. And with the end of the era for Real Madrid holding that prize up, maybe they'll take advantage of the opportunity sooner rather than later in the next couple of years. I mean, can't really leave them out, can you? But with that being said, we're going to take another short itty-bitty break. And when we come back, we will finish up the day talking about some other matches that happened today. The matches that are just – today is actually kind of uninspiring. It's the Europa Cup. But we'll talk about the next matches for the Premier League and how close everyone is on the table. We'll be right back right after this.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. Finishing up today, we're going Premier League. We're going back to the Premier League. As of right now, the table stands. We'll just go real quick, real update on the table. As Manchester City has retaken the lead in the Premier League with 71 points to Liverpool's 70. Tottenham remaining at 3 with 61, Manchester United at 58, Arsenal trying to take up that next Champions League, that last Champions League spot for Manchester United with their 57 points, and Chelsea again at 56. So it looks like Chelsea will be in the Europa League qualification, but it's unknown at this time. Well, they are in front of the Wolves, who are seventh by 13 points. So with that being said, it looks like we know who are Europa, at least we at least know who our Europa League guys are going to be, our teams are going to be. At least it's going to be Chelsea and Arsenal. But again, Manchester United could drop. But how they've been playing, especially in Champions League, and I don't think they still haven't lost a game since they've had their new coach, since firing their old coach and bringing in their new coach, or their temporary coach, who's most likely 99% going to be their new coach. Yeah, they haven't lost. They drew, but they have not lost since hiring him or making him the official coach. So, yeah, I mean, the last time they drew was in February, and that was a nothing-nothing draw to Liverpool, the number one team at the time. And then they beat Palace. Then they, last time I checked, they also beat Southampton. So they're on a roll. And so Saturday, March 9th, is going to be interesting to say the least. I just brought up Manchester City United because they're undefeated, because they are playing Arsenal on Sunday. That, my friends, is a very, very interesting game, because last time they played each other, it was round 15, I believe, in the Premier League, and they drew. But in their last five, they're both last five games, Manchester United has won four, drawn one. Of course, they haven't lost since hiring the new coach. That makes sense. But Arsenal has lost one out of their last five and only won three. So 3-1-1 is their record in the last five. So obviously the advantage goes to Manchester United in this round 30 matchup, and it's going to be in London. And, you know, just it's really hard not to pick Manchester United as the favorite here. Just because of the fact, okay, they haven't lost in Premier League yet with their new coach. They have been already moving on to the quarterfinal round in the Champions League after their miracle comeback against PSG. So I know in the last few games they've beaten mid to below tier teams like Fulham and Southampton and teams that are not considered the best of the best. But they're still winning. And they're still winning convincingly. Maybe convincingly is not the right term. But how they've been playing is unbelievable and undeniable, their momentum. So, honestly, if I had to pick between Arsenal and Manchester United, I'm thinking the streak's going to stay alive, and Manchester United is going to take this one on Sunday. As for the Saturday matches, anything other than, there's not really an important one besides maybe Manchester City and Watford and Southampton and Tottenham, just because they're both in the Champions League, the top four at the moment. And then we'll talk about Sunday, then we also have Liverpool and Burnley. I mean, nothing special there. Chelsea and the Wolves is actually a pretty interesting game, since one's placed but next to each other. One's the sixth place team, one's seventh place. Yes, they are 13 points apart, but still think it's pretty important, all things considered. But then, of course, next weekend, we have the Manchester United-Manchester City matchup, which we'll get more in detail of next week. But with that being said, honestly, yeah, Arsenal versus Manchester United is the game to watch this coming weekend. And all things considered, like, I don't know. There is also a moment of the Manchester City allegations, as there is some controversy regarding around the team, and they are denying the allegations of the FFP violations that they are accused of, and the UEFA are opening investigation on these so-called breaches. And to get into a little more detail with that, and these financial fair pay violations that they're accused of have been broken into the media recently, too. So, well, various media outlets is the quote from Simon Stone. And they issued a statement, Manchester City did. They say, Manchester City welcomes the opening of the formal UEFA investigation as an opportunity to bring an end to the speculation resulting from an illegal hacking and out-of-context publication of City emails. The accusation of financial irregularities are entirely false. The club's published accounts are full and complete and a matter of legal and regulatory record. The club had previously refused to comment about these allegations, as reported on a German newspaper, and said the claims were based on hacked or, like they said, they say they're based on hacked or stolen emails. But if they were stolen emails, wouldn't they not have been touched, in theory? Like, why? I mean, maybe it was like, oh, someone stole her email and forged the what was said on the email, and then they published it, or they did show it to media outlets. You know, I really don't know. There really isn't much detail on what the actual violations were, it looks like. It just looks like there have just been violations in general. But obviously, this is a serious account, especially this late into the season. Maybe okay, mid to late in the season regarding the Premier League. And will this put even a dark spot on them? Well, they said they're more welcome to investigate it. They're welcoming the UEFA into it. So it's not like they're saying this is completely false. There's no need for an investigation. They're saying, yeah, come on in. Check it all out. It's like when a cop knocks on your door. And they say, can you search your house for any illegal substance? They're like, yeah, sure, come on in. There's nothing here. That's kind of what I'm getting from their calling. Maybe they're trying to call it the bluff and say, yeah, make the investigation. I double dog dare you. I'm not sure exactly what the situation is going to hold. But it seems to me that Manchester United is very confident in the fact that there is absolutely no evidence of any violation whatsoever regarding pay. The FFP, at least. Now, we'll see how this all goes down when the investigation, I'm assuming this is going to happen sooner rather than later, but again, investigations like this, they probably will take about a month or two, maybe longer, unless they find something incredibly quickly, but, you know, formally inviting them to your, to investigate is like, that's like saying, yeah, we're innocent, please come and just prove, we're proving this point, but it's also like, you can also look at it in the criminal standpoint. I'm just going through both sides here. If they are guilty, then and they're welcoming them in to investigate, then they're probably in the long lines of like, hey, we're innocent, but in reality they probably hid them somewhere or put them in a place where they're unobtainable by the investigators who are going to investigate them on the violations. But again, this is all theory. I'm just going to go straight from the benefit of the doubt and say, I honestly don't know which way or the other. Can you trust various media outlets? Can you trust a German newspaper about a certain Premier League incident with Manchester City? Could they be hacked? Absolutely. Could they have been stolen? Absolutely. Just all depends on how the person got to it is the question. But regardless of that, I think this investigation is probably going to go on for an extended period of time. I'm guessing at least a month. And then we'll get more information as it progresses. But that's our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. And please tune us in next Thursday for our Manchester United versus Manchester City preview. Maybe we'll have more information on this whole scandal thing. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.